The scriptures today are from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. The Old Testament is from the book of Psalms, the New from the book of Luke. So this is Psalm 66, 1 through 9. Please listen to the word of the Lord. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch over the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt him themselves. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Correct. Okay. Bless our God, O people. Let the sound of his praises be heard. He who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. Our feet have not slipped. Okay, now Luke. Luke 10, 1 through 11, and then 16 through 20. After the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and places where he himself intended to go, he said to them, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. Go your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking, whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even demons submit to us. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the Spirit has submitted to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And the response is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want to read one more scripture passage this morning. This one comes from the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. Hear now these words. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Elijah said to them, Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho, and the company of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you not know that the Lord will take your master away from you? And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took off his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and the water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." And he responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle that Elijah had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha walked over. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of all these scriptures find meaning in our hearts and lives this morning and beyond. Amen. A pastor acquaintance of mine followed in the family business, so to speak. And he decided to share this fact with his young son one day. Filled with pride, he opened the family Bible, on which there was written out the family tree. "Son," he said, "you know that your father is a preacher, but did you know that your grandfather was a preacher? And so was your great-grandfather, and your great-great-grandfather, and even your great-great-great-grandfather were all preachers." To which the boy replied, "Wow, you come from a long line of grandfathers." Okay. Being that I'm newly a grandfather for the second time, I couldn't resist telling that joke. After all, one gets to bask in being a grandfather for at least a little while, and I'm feeling very grandfatherly right now. But the words of this young son ring true. We do come from a long line of grandfathers and grandmothers. And the young son reminded his father in his own way that despite his own deep history, each generation is called to carry on the work of our grandfathers and grandmothers. And that's kind of what Independence Day is all about, isn't it? It's about remembering our history, certainly, and all the work that was done throughout these 200 plus years. But it's also remembering to pick up the mantle and carry on the work that our ancestors began, and we are called to continue. In the passage from our Old Testament this morning, Elisha, and I apologize for the confusion, but that's how it is, two names very similar. Elisha is literally given the mantle of the prophet Elijah. Literally handed over to him right before Elijah was taken into heaven. In this passage, we are witnessing the continuing of a long line of prophets, the handing down of the ministry from one to the next. Elisha had spent the last 20 years as the protege of Elijah. He had accompanied him as he confronted kings with their sins. He witnessed the power of God lived out in Elisha. And now Elisha wants to be there at the end. And so Elisha follows Elijah on this final journey from Bethel to Jericho and then across the Jordan River. And there at the Jordan, Elijah lays down his mantle and is taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, riding a chariot of fire. A dramatic exit that left poor Elisha so distraught that he tore his robe apart. But when he had recovered from his bout with grief, we are told that he picked up the mantle of Elijah and returned across the Jordan River. Elisha was now in the position of being a prophet in Israel, and yet there was no instruction manual on how to be a prophet. How does one serve God? One certainly starts by picking up the mantle, but what does one do next? Fortunately for us, there is an instruction manual, and we find it in the passage from Luke that Dorothy read this morning and Heather alluded to. Here, Jesus is sending out 70 trusted followers with the task of going ahead of Jesus in order to prepare the way for the places he will visit. And as Jesus calls them together, he tells them that they will have a task no less daunting than that of the Old Testament prophet, for they, as Jesus says, will be like lambs in the midst of wolves. But Jesus sends them out with specific instructions on how to travel. I remember once reading a column in a newspaper that was entitled The Savvy Traveler. In it, the author gave out practical advice for those who were planning to travel. And so Jesus is giving them his own savvy travel advice. There we go. First, the first instruction is that Jesus tells them is that they are to go out in pairs. When I was a kid at summer camp, we were never allowed to swim unless we had a buddy. No exceptions. You came down to the beach without a buddy, you had to wait at the shore till someone else came down to be your buddy. And once in the water, the lifeguards would blow their whistles and yell, "Buddy up!" And you had to scramble to find your buddy and raise your hand. And if you didn't find your buddy in 5 seconds, you were out of the water. You learned quickly to keep an eye on your buddy, and your buddy kept an eye on you. I'm sure some of you had a similar experience. Jesus had the same idea in the spiritual realm as well. Find a spiritual buddy, someone who will check on you with some regularity. Find someone who you can share your spiritual story with to make sure you're not getting lost along the way. Jesus gives us this basic instruction: do not undertake this spiritual journey alone. We are to find a buddy and grab his or her hand from time to time. The second rule of travel for the spiritual journey is to pray. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, describes how the devil is to use the zealousness of Christians to bring about the Christian's own downfall. Lewis writes, "Let him get excited about saving the world," says the master devil to his pupil devil. "Show him how much the world needs saving. Show him the enormity of the problems, and your Christian will tire of the job and lose hope." If we take a look at the problems in the world today, we certainly can see a world for which it seems overwhelming. And if we look at that world and the needs in it, and we see only ourselves trying to solve them, then we will become discouraged. So whenever we begin a journey of service in Christ's name, any task of mission, we should begin with prayer. A prayer that the Lord will send other laborers into the harvest as well. We may not see those laborers, but we will know that they are there and they too are doing the Lord's work. Our strength in our work for Christ comes with our connection to Christ. And we find that connection through our prayers. The third, Jesus instructs us to travel light. Now, almost all my travel is by car, and I have a rule with cars. If there is any space left in the car when leaving on a trip, you fill it. You never leave home without something you might possibly need. But Jesus has a different rule for the spiritual journey. He tells us to travel light. Now, most of us spend so much time getting ready for our spiritual mission, packing and unpacking, talking about it, researching it, trying to decide what to do, that we never actually get out and serve. The car is full, but it never leaves the garage. Jesus says, take no purse, take no suitcase, take no car. Get up and go. And do not let your baggage, whatever that might be, keep you from going. The Lord will provide as you go. The fourth instruction of Jesus is to bring a message of peace. There's an old Peanuts cartoon in which Sally tells her older brother, Charlie Brown, that she is finally convinced this boy in class to accept her point of view. Charlie Brown asks what words she used to persuade him, and she answers, I hit him with my lunchbox. There seems to be a tendency in Christianity to make people believe by hitting them over the head with your faith. Jesus reminds his servants that the first message we are to bring is peace. We need to begin with a message of love and peace, and our actions need to reflect that message. Nothing else will be heard if we can't bring a message of peace. And his fifth instruction is to give the same message to those who welcome you and those who don't. And that message is, the kingdom of God has come near. Some will hear this good news and find it a blessing. Those who are living without hope will find in this message a great deal of comfort that God is near. And these may be the only words that will help the cancer patient or the grieving widow. For others, however, the message that the kingdom of God is near will bring only confusion and maybe even fear. They will not understand, or they will misunderstand, or maybe they will understand all too well. For some, the nearness of the kingdom of God will not be important, or it'll be something to be avoided. For these people, Jesus says, let them go their own way. Leave them alone. Time is too precious to waste on those who are not receptive to the message. And it is at these times that we pray that God will find another way to share that good news with these folks. But we go on our way. Finally, when the 70 returned in good spirits because of their successes, Jesus gave them their last instruction. Success is wonderful, he tells them, but it is not what we celebrate on this journey. What we want to celebrate is that we belong to God. Clarence Jordan, who wrote the Cotton Patch Gospel, translated this verse this way. Look here, says Jesus, I've given you the ability to trample on snakes and scorpions and on the power structures of the opposition, and nothing will be able to stop you. But don't get all hepped up just because the devilish guys gave in to you. Instead, you should be happy that you're enrolled in a spiritual cause. And you know, it's easy enough to get hepped up when your ministry goes well. It is not as easy to remember that the work of God, the work is really God's work. And none of us will get very far without understanding that. Jesus is urging all of us to join the work of the 70. Like Elijah, we have the mantle of this faith handed down to us by our spiritual forebears. And now it is our turn to pick up the mantle and go. Go and serve Christ. Amen.